Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December 21st, 4 days away from Christmas. I don't know about you, but usually when we get to like the 21st, the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, I tend to go more traditional, meaning I'm listening now to Silent Night and Oh Holy Night, Oh Little Town of Bethlehem. I'm starting to listen to songs now that have a religious message rather than Little Saint Nick and Snoopy's Christmas and stuff like that that I was listening to for the last couple of weeks. So now I get into the more traditional Christmas, and I love it. I absolutely love the Christmas carols. I absolutely love the sense and spirit of Christmas that starts to happen about this time. So I hope, whatever you do, I hope you're getting ready, because it'll be here in 4 days, and it happens very fast. By the way, speaking of Christmas, some of you who have been listening to the podcast for some time, you may remember that for the last 3 or 4 years, we've been doing a special Christmas show where we bring in our friend Frank Burke, who's an author, a businessman, and he's also wonderful at telling stories and reading Christmas stories. Frank has an acting background as well as a business background, so he is absolutely wonderful at reading these stories. And he's going to come in on Friday the 22nd, and he always promises me, he never tells me what it is, and I don't really want to know what it is, because I want to be surprised. But he's got a great Christmas story this year that he's going to share with us. I hope you tune in to the podcast. And of course, as you know, the podcast is always available in the archives if you miss it live. Today, we're going to talk about this absolutely hysterical reaction on the part of the Democrat Party to the Trump tax plan. I mean, it's just hysterical. I don't know what else to say. It's almost to the point that it's no longer political. It's just totally silly. Just totally, completely silly. Before we do, though, I want to say something about Senator Scott. Senator Scott from South Carolina. He's an African-American Republican, and he happened to be standing with President Trump. I think he actually spoke during the little celebration that they had at the White House for the vote. And he was standing there supporting President Trump, and as I say, he was giving a little speech. And somebody at the Washington or the Huffington Post, the writer, I don't know the name, it's not important, tweeted something along the lines, well, there's your token black guy, you know, the prop, you know, the black guy, suggesting that somehow Senator Scott was put there so that he could be this black guy surrounded by all these white men just to show the world that the Republican Party cares about people. Well, Senator Scott, with good reason, shot back, correctly so. The man has apologized, which is a good thing. But I think there's a larger issue here that we've talked about before, and that is the idea, what is it about black conservatives that drives so many liberals to do something stupid like this? Why is it? You know, why do they get this angry when a black man says, well, I think differently than most of you. I'm a Republican. I think differently than you. I have different ideas about public schools or spending or whatever. What's so bad about that? I mean, I think it's good for African Americans to have diversity, political diversity in their ranks. I mean, I think it's a shame when you look at the Democrats, let's say the Black Caucus in the House, they're all basically the same. They're like copies of each other. Politically, they all agree on the same thing, vote the same way. There's no diversity in the group. Nobody dares disagree. They're all basically, you know, you can listen to one and you've heard all of them. That's not good for African Americans to have that kind of political investment in one party. There ought to be two parties you know, looking at the black vote. The other day, the NBA player, I can't think of his name right now, he basically said something. He used different words that I'm going to use, but he basically said, Democrats, you got to get off your you-know-what and start paying attention to the black vote because, you know, you take us for granted. And that's exactly right. When you don't have any – when you have people voting automatically for one party, that's exactly what happens. You get taken for granted. That's what's happening to blacks. I think that's what's happening to many of the Mexican groups here in the Southwest. They always vote Democrat. So then why should the Democrats even keep their promises? They're going to get their vote anyway. So I'm glad that this fellow has apologized. And hopefully this is the last time that we'll have an attack on a black man just because he's a conservative Republican. Hopefully this is the last time that's going to happen. I want to talk a little bit about the Democrats and their reaction. I have a post coming out on Friday morning where I talk about what I think will be the real consequence of this bill. Long term, the real consequence is really the collapse of what is known in many circles as the blue state model, that is the Democrat model, meaning big taxes, high taxes, big government, big bureaucracies. You see that in California. You see that in New York. You see it in Maryland. You see it in Illinois. You see it in Massachusetts, where you have big government. And all of this, of course, being paid for by very high taxes. These taxes used to be deducted from your IRS when you were doing your IRS declaration. You could deduct your state taxes. Well, you're not going to be able to do that now, or at least not as much. There's a limit to how much you can deduct. And I think this is going to have a devastating impact on these states. And I predict two things. Number one, there's going to be a taxpayer rebellion in many of these states when people really figure out how much they're paying in state taxes and that they're now going to have to actually pay it out of their own pockets. They're not going to be able to write it off on their IRS returns. The other thing that is going to happen if these state governments don't change their approach to taxes or governing, I think you're going to see more and more people get out of these states. It's already happening in Illinois. It's already happening in California. And it's already happening in New York, where people simply leave those states looking for better opportunities in some other parts of the country. So that's what I think the real consequence of this bill is. And that's why the Democrats are freaking out, because the world as they've known it is about to change radically. I mean, it's going to change very radically when all of a sudden New York has to tell people, yes, you have to pay these taxes. You don't get to write them off anymore. That's going to have a political impact that it's going to be quite, quite revolutionary. Just watch it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. It's not going to happen all at one time, but I think over the next 5 years, you're going to see some taxpayer rebellions in many of the so-called blue states. I think you're going to start seeing some really, really bad things happening in many of those states. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, getting ready for Christmas here with about 4 days to go. I don't know. Some families celebrate Christmas on the 25th. Others, I think in the Spanish tradition that I grew up in, the big celebration was really the 24th evening. And we sort of continue doing that. We obviously celebrate Christmas on the 25th, but there's a big, what they call Noche Buena, which is a big meal on the 24th, and then you go to the midnight mass. And I've always done that all my life, and we've continued that with our sons, and it's really a nice tradition that we inherited from our Spanish roots, Noche Buena on December 24th in the evening. Have you been following the situation in North Korea? It's getting a little crazy there. And, you know, it's always crazy in North Korea. But now you've had within, what, a month, maybe less than that, defectors, people running over and literally risking their lives to cross over. The first guy came over and he had all kinds of bacteria and stuff in his body when they checked him out. Somebody else crossed over here in the last 48 hours. And you have to begin to ask yourself the question, what exactly is going on? We also read about a man who was very close to the dictator, to the young dictator, who has apparently disappeared. They don't see him anymore when they do pictures. Now, that usually means he's been executed in North Korea. They don't do exile in North Korea. They do execution. And maybe, and I say this, I don't have an answer here, but I'm just thinking out loud about this. Maybe the Chinese are squeezing the North Koreans, and you're beginning to see maybe some defections within the system. I don't know. But something is going on when you see defections, and then on top of that, you see somebody just disappearing. I think there may be something going on. And if I had to guess, I think the Chinese are doing something about this. I really do. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese are quietly moving pieces in the background. They cannot be happy with what North Korea is doing. North Korea is not serving any Chinese interest at the moment. The last thing the Chinese want is a nuclear war in the peninsula. It's the last thing they want. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're pulling some strings in the background. Well, on this day in history, you know, we were doing a series on World War II with our friend Barry Jacobs, and many of the shows are available in the archives. On this day in 1945, General Patton was killed in an auto accident in Germany. And you think about that. I mean, here's a man who was involved as a soldier in World War I and then as a general in World War II. He was obviously many times in combat as a soldier and general, and he survived that. But then in 1945, he was killed in a car crash. And at a young age, he was, I think, in his 60s when it happened. So General Patton, one of the legendary generals of American history, was killed on this day in 1945 in Germany. On this day in 1946, Carl Wilson, one of the Wilson brothers of the Beach Boys, was born in California. He died in 1998. The Beach Boys, for those of you who may not be familiar, many people call them the American Beatles because they were really the big American group of the 1960s. Brian Wilson, of course, a genius of a songwriter. I absolutely love his material. Well, they were three brothers, Brian, the older one, Dennis. Brian was also the lead singer and the songwriter. Dennis, of course, was the drummer who died accidentally in the 80s. And then, of course, Carl was one of the voices. And they were just absolutely great. And Carl Wilson is the lead singer in one of their great songs, God Only Knows, one of the great, great pop songs of all time. So we remember Carl Wilson, born on this day in 1946. And we remember something very sad, absolutely very sad, that happened on this day in 1988. 29 years ago, hard to believe. But we were in a transition at that moment from President Reagan to Vice President Bush. And during that transition, we heard about the explosion of a Pan American flight from London to New York. It exploded over Scotland, and all 285 passengers were killed, of course, including 53 or 35, I don't remember whether it was 35 or 53, but a group of students, young students, returning home from a trip to Europe that they had made as part of their studies. And all of these young people were killed in this accident. Later on, they were able to trace it, not directly to Gaddafi. I don't think they ever traced it directly to him, but they were clearly able to trace it to some people close to Gaddafi. Eventually, they put one of the people in jail in Scotland. He became very ill. He was released. He was returned to Libya, where he died shortly after that. But I remember the big scandal when they released this guy in 2009. But this was really, in many ways, part of the terror strategy that was used against the United States by blowing out airplanes. Of course, I'm talking 13 years before, before 9/11. So this is way before that. But this was such a sad day. And even today, I think of the many, many families who were devastated that Christmas in 1988. There's a great book, by the way, that has stories of most of the passengers, and it's a very sad book. I have a link to it on my blog today when I write about this thing that happened 29 years ago today. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And as I mentioned, we're going to be doing our Christmas special on Friday the 22nd. I hope you tune in. I hope you tune in and listen to our chat with Frank Burke. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.